Chapter 1. A Line in the Sand. It was the night before I turned 40. That cool, late October evening in 2006, Julie and our three kids were sound asleep as I tried to enjoy some peaceful moments in our otherwise rowdy household. My nightly routine involved losing myself in the comfort of my giant flat screen cranked to maximum volume. While basking in the haze of Law & Order reruns, I'd put away a plate of cheeseburgers and followed that welcome head rush with a mouthful of nicotine gum. This was just my way of relaxing, I'd convinced myself. After a hard day, I felt I deserved it, and that it was harmless. After all, I knew about harm. 8 years earlier, I'd awoken from a multi-day blackout binge to find myself in a drug and alcohol treatment center in rural Oregon. Since then, I'd miraculously gotten sober, and one day at a time was staying that way. I no longer drank. I didn't do drugs. I figured I had the right to pig out on a little junk food. But something happened on this birthday eve. At almost 2 a.m., I was well into my third hour of doltish television and approaching sodium toxicity with a calorie count in the thousands. With my belly full and nicotine buzz fading, I decided to call it a night. I performed a quick check on my stepsons, Tyler and Trapper, in their room off the kitchen. I loved watching them sleep. Age 11 and 10, respectively, they'd soon be teenagers, grasping for independence. But for now, they were still pajama-clad boys in their bunk beds, dreaming of skateboarding and Harry Potter. With the lights already out, I had begun hauling my 208-pound frame upstairs when midway I had to pause. My legs were heavy. My breathing labored. My face felt hot, and I had to bend over just to catch my breath, my belly folding over jeans that no longer fit. Nauseous, I looked down at the steps I'd climbed. There were 8. About that many remained to be mounted. 8 steps. Man, I thought, is this what I've become? Slowly, I made it to the top and entered our bedroom, careful not to wake Julie or our 2-year-old daughter Mathis, snuggled up against her mom in our bed. My two angels, illuminated by the moonlight coming through the window. Holding still, I paused to watch them sleep, waiting for my pulse to slow. Tears began to trickle down my face as I was overcome by a confusing mix of emotions. Love, certainly, but also guilt, shame, and a sudden and acute fear. In my mind, a crystal clear image flashed of Mathis on her wedding day, smiling, flanked by her proud groomsmen brothers and beaming mother. But in this waking dream, I knew something was profoundly amiss. I wasn't there. Was dead. A tingling sensation surfaced at the base of my neck and quickly spread down my spine as a sense of panic set in. A drop of sweat fell to the dark wood floor, and I became transfixed by the droplet, as if it were the only thing keeping me from collapsing. The tiny crystal ball foretold my grim future, that I wouldn't live to see my daughter's wedding day. Snap out of it. A shake of the head. A deep inhale. I labored to the bathroom sink and splashed my face with cold water. As I lifted my head, I caught my reflection in the mirror and froze. Gone was that long-held image of myself as the handsome young swimming champion I'd once been. And in that moment, denial was shattered. Reality set in for the first time. I was a fat, out of shape, and very unhealthy man hurtling into middle age. A depressed, self-destructive person utterly disconnected from who I was and what I wanted to be. To the outside observer, everything appeared to be perfect. It had been more than 8 years since my last drink, and during that time I'd repaired what was a broken and desperate life, reshaping it into the very model of modern American success. After snagging degrees from Stanford and Cornell and spending years as a